Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. Right now, I would like to welcome Rabbi Malka Drucker. She is the rabbi of the Hamakom Synagogue. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
So we are here to talk about the Jewish high holidays, which begin on Wednesday, the 28th of September. What is this time of year all about? Is it always the same time every year?
It's roughly the same time in late September and early October, or from mid-September to early October. And the intention of it is to celebrate something that we sort of maybe don't even believe or we take for granted, which is the capacity to change. So this is the time of year where we really look at the great privilege and obligation of being able to change.
What do you mean by change?
That's a very good question. My grandfather would say, if you want change, you should change your underwear.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's hard to change. My personal view of it is nobody ever really changes once they're an adult.
Ooh, Mary Charlotte, I hope that's not true. What are we doing all this time then? I mean, how do we get better if we understand life is a dynamic and nothing stands still? We either get better or we get worse. So if we get better, isn't that change?
Well, what does better mean?
Good question. More aware. Ultimately, more empathic. Ultimately, that we really recognize that what's going on in somebody else affects us, and what's going on in me affects you. So that's what I think of as a growing awareness, a growing empathy, and a growing sense, more than anything, of our interconnection to each other, and how if we don't have that awareness, we can't survive.
And so that is codified into the Jewish holidays?
Yes, and that's kind of the amazing thing, that this is actually, I mean, here we have Torah, which is the Bible. Then we have the commentary, the Talmud, and then we have Freud. And Freud...
A little gap in between the two.
A little gap, right. But that's part of the commentary, too. I mean, what psyche means soul, and the idea that we are in evolution in our lives, and this universe is in evolution, and as we evolve, we create the evolution of this world, and if you will, God, God's self, is part of what we celebrate at this time of year. So...
Now, God's self, hang on a second.
Yes.
You look at the Old Testament God. He wasn't very nice. A lot of revenge, anger, stuff like that.
You got it. And that's the Old Testament. However...
Well, you're Jewish.
Jews don't do Old Testament.
What?
Jews do Torah. And there's a radical difference. Radical difference. You can see the near sacrifice, the binding of Isaac, as foreshadowing of Jesus and the crucifixion. Our interpretation is radically different, and that is, in fact, the very text that we read at this time of year. This is the time of year when we look at that near sacrifice and ask ourselves, what was God's intention here? One of the big questions is that if, what kind of a God, because it goes back to your Old Testament God, you said, what kind of a God tells people in their 90s they're going to have a child? It's almost like a joke. And then they have this child, and it's a great celebration. And then later, the father is told, take this one, whom you love so, and kill this one. So there's a major question in theology of, if this was a test, maybe the test was of God, and maybe God failed. Maybe it wasn't Abraham who failed this test. And did Abraham succeed by saying, right on, I'll go do this? Maybe God was expecting Abraham to say, wait, let me think about this. Are you the God of justice? Are you the God of mercy? So what does this have to do with justice and mercy? So it's that kind of introspection at this time of year that ultimately we come to realize that we cannot sacrifice our children or anyone else for our own salvation, whatever it should be, however noble we believe this to be. The intention of this time is that each of us was put here to do what we're supposed to do, and we may not know that until the end of our lives. And no one, especially a parent, has the right, say, to take that from a child. So that's one aspect of it, which is why the ram's horn.
Well, yeah, we're sitting here in the Santa Fe Baking Company with a ram's horn on the table as we drink our coffee. What's the ram's horn all about?
The ram's horn is from now, actually from several days ago, with a new moon of this month, I've been blowing it every day. And we blow this through until Yom Kippur. So for 40 days, we awaken ourselves. This is the cosmic alarm clock. Awaken us to, okay, how have I done? Most of us, you know, when asked that question, I'm doing all right. You know, unless we have serious problems, we think we're doing just fine. But as we go deeper, asking these questions around forgiveness, for example, around personal responsibility in our lives, are we doing what God has asked us to do? How are we listening? So this is, first of all, you could imagine this like the old earphones, you know, like, oh yeah, very nothing inside this.
You mean like the kind of phones that old deaf people use
exactly.
In order to hear better, right?
Exactly. So this is like, you know, wake up. I mean, this is not a dress rehearsal. This is your time to really awaken to your highest self. And your highest self has got to do an internal process. Here's the sentence. It's from C.P. Snow's book, The Masters. It's a novel. And the sentence is, I like the person who takes the trouble to look at himself, is appalled by what he sees, and then forgives himself. So from the time I was a small child, my mother would tell me, you know, this is about conscience, which in Hebrew is from the root of compass. So it's a matter of paying attention to this thing within us that really speaks to us about our direction. And then when we haven't done the right thing, then we cannot ask God for forgiveness. Have to go to the one we've harmed here on this earth and ask them for forgiveness and ask them how to make amends. Only then can we go Yom Kippur at the end of this, the great climax, and say, I've done the work, I've written the letters, I've done the emails, I've made the phone calls.
It's like one of the steps on the 12 steps.
Very, very much. Absolutely. It's the making amends piece.
Right.
Yeah, and the word for it is shuvah, which actually means to turn. It has several meanings. And it's like the creative process. You turn within yourself to know your deepest truth, to write a sentence. It's the same process that you turn within yourself.
So there's that whole take on forgiveness, in other words, going to the person you've hurt to make amends. What do you do with the people who've hurt you?
That's really good. At this time of year, I find myself setting aside plenty of time for anyone to come to my door and offer forgiveness, to ask me for my forgiveness.
Yeah, but they're not going to.
No, they don't.
They never do.
No, they don't. So the whole subject of forgiveness is very interesting from, again, as I said, Jews don't follow the Old Testament. Jews follow what we call the Torah, which are the five books of Moses. In English, we call those five books and the writings and the prophets as the Holy Bible, or Tanakh is the acronym for Torah, prophets, and writings.
So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, etc.
That's the Torah.
That's the Torah. But then in the Bible that I have at home that says Holy Bible on the front, it's the same books. Different translation.
But you also have New Testament in it.
Yeah, it's
yes.
The second part.
It's the King James translation, perhaps. Our translation is not so dramatically different.
Okay.
It's not so much about a different translation. It's we're not so much a people of the book, the Jews, as much as a people of the commentary, to believe that in these events, each generation will find what it needs to learn from this event, and it will be different from other generations.
That's very interesting. So it becomes almost like the Constitution. It becomes kind of a flexible document that is used by each time in a different way.
And that's part of what makes it sacred, is that each year that I read it, for me, Malka, depending on my life experience, I see it differently. So much more for the whole generation. So you take the question of forgiveness, for example. This time of year is big, as you said. All these people who haven't, who owe me.
Yeah, somebody screwed you over. What do you do?
Exactly. So we're not so into unilateral forgiveness. We're really, because there's danger in that. Look, let's take a case of somebody who is commits domestic violence, for example. So the victim of this, the wife, the partner, continues to forgive. Each time this one maybe has remorse. Or maybe this one doesn't even have remorse, but this one starts going into some faith tradition that says, oh, the only peace that you're going to have is to forgive this person. What does that mean? Do you stay there? Do you continue to live with this person? Does this person now, in this forgiveness, feel that they've been absolved and they go on to another partner and commit the same act again? So the matter of easy forgiveness, unilateral forgiveness, doesn't seem to, in Judaism, if someone comes to me, it hasn't happened yet, three times and asks my forgiveness, and I don't offer it, I am as bad as the one who committed this. Given that, I think that we're missing a word in English. There is a letting go, a pulling an arrow out of my heart that's causing me a lot of pain. I'll do that. And I call that a letting go of what has been, and forgiveness to the extent that all of us do the best that we can do. But that's not the same thing as what we're talking about if I say, Mary Charlotte, will you forgive me for standing you up last month or whatever? That's different. That word, forgiveness, has a very clear meaning. I've asked for it. You know what? Yes. And what does it mean? It means that we're okay. We're okay now.
Well, that's the kind of forgiveness between people who are on some level equals and can resolve their relationship. But like in the cases, like you gave the example of domestic violence, where there's a big power differential, and maybe the person who's doing the beating is also bigger, and maybe they also have all the money and the lawyers and things like that. I mean, you can still, I suppose, and I don't know how this is within Judaism, but get out, get to a battered women's shelter, get a restraining order,
right,
and still not have that arrow in your heart after a while.
Right. The reason that people speak about unilateral forgiveness, I think, is because, you know, it's like saying, why should I take the poison and expect you to die? I'm the one who's walking around with all the resentment. I'm the one walking around with the resentment. How do I lighten my heart of all that? What do you do with a child who's been sexually abused? You know, what does that child do with that parent, the father or the mother? Is there a forgiveness? Say you actually have the blessing of a real conversation, and there's a real clarity that this one has great regret for what has happened. In this case, then it's easy to offer, perhaps it's easy to offer a forgiveness if you feel it's really heartfelt. But on the other hand, what happens if you have a parent who denies it forever? Take the arrow out of your heart. Let go of this. Wish this one well to do no harm to anyone else, and remove this one from your presence. I don't call that forgiveness.
What is it? Is there a Hebrew word for it?
No. I mean, there is no word really for, except that it will say in many places that don't spend 10 minutes with a person that you know is bad. Because your efforts to help that one, perhaps by your forgiveness, will ultimately contaminate and corrupt you.
So again, let's get back to, I mean, you talked about getting better and goodness or betterness or whatever you want to call it in your definition have to do with awareness and compassion and empathy and things like that. So when you say don't spend time with somebody who's bad,
where's your compassion?
So somebody without compassion, somebody without kindness.
Someone who does harm. Someone who is not being useful in this world for whatever reason, either because of unconsciousness or because of intention. Doesn't matter if my antenna tells me that this is a person who's going to, you know, stir the pot, so to speak, that I might be inclined to try to help this person. But negative traits are much more influential, it seems, than positive ones.
Well, does that mean don't go speak to your evil congressman?
Oh, no. I think that you want to confront the one who's doing wrong. But that's not trying to help him out and hanging out with them and trying to change something in them. I mean, we go back to 12-step. We can't change somebody else. We can only change this within ourselves. And people can change, Mary Charlotte. I mean, let's say you know all your life you have an aptitude for impatience, say. You know, and you find yourself driving, you know. So I've done this with people. I've said, wear a rubber band for a week. And every time you find yourself impatient and anger rising, just gently pull the rubber band. And just become aware of how often in the day you do that. This is like, look, we're all given like our eye color, a certain way of being. Some of us are more fearful. We recalibrate. That's the point of our lives. Rosh Hashanah says, and Rosh Hashanah is the sweet holiday. It's really nice. If I started with Yom Kippur, nobody would come back for the other one. Because we need the sweetness of it. We need the sweetness of that holiday, of the apples and honey that we eat, to encourage us to do the big digging and to spend those 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur really doing significant inventory on ourselves.
Now, in your view, you've been a rabbi for some time, and you've observed yourself for some time. Yourself aside, looking at your congregation, looking at the people who you've worked with for all these years, does it work?
That's a really good question. I know it works. I mean, I see it over and over. I see us collectively as a community behaving in ways that we certainly didn't do 10 years ago when we began. And now I really see that there is a concern, an easy concern for the one next to you that wasn't there before. So as a community, I'm really knocked out by how we have become supportive of one another. Secondly, individually, I mean, I've seen people come in and I say to them, like from 12-step, I say, look, you know, these are like Jews who are just like out there. And I say to them, just come six times. Just come six times with some, you know, within the next 3 months. And then make a decision.
Is that a magic number?
It's from 12-step.
Ah.
They tell you to come six times. So I heard that in Al-Anon, and I thought, well, you know, yeah, it's like dating. I mean, you don't always get it the first time out. And, you know, give it a chance. This is a new relationship for you. I mean, the word God makes you scratch yourself. You know, it's like so you have to give yourself a little bit of time around this. I've seen those people who come in tremendous despair. It's like they've tried everything. They're born Jews. Well, hell, I might as well try the synagogue. And I see, and then little by little, they meet somebody. And then I see that maybe they're beginning to participate in something. And then their complexion changes, Mary Charlotte. We're lonely. We're lonely on this planet.
At least in this society.
We've destroyed our villages.
Yeah.
We have. And I want to tell you also that I was inspired by our lunch for my sermon for Kol Nidre, that's my State of the Union. It's called Walk Humbly in Your Despair, an uplifting high holiday sermon. Because I think so many of us have so much fear now that nothing will help and there cannot be change. Even asking, can I change? That's the question of this time of year. It's more than can I change. Isn't that just a great opportunity for me? I have commandment. I have obligation to really step up to the plate into my full power and be useful in this world.
And I think there's different kind of change. I mean, I think probably most people's personalities don't really change, but their awareness can and their empathy can.
Personalities don't change. You're exactly right. Yet you're God and I'm God. And we're different faces of God, and we're all God. And there are a zillion ways that we don't even know within ourselves. You know, they used to tell us that only 10% of our conscious, we only have 10% consciousness, 90% is unconscious. That is only partially true. That the intention is to increase this consciousness, because that's, whatever language we use, that's the cosmic vision, and we have that within ourselves.
Now, let's go back to this God question. When somebody says, okay, you're a rabbi, that means you believe in God. What does that mean to you?
I knew you would ask me that question. what it means to me, to be perfectly honest, since I am, I think, genomically skeptical. I mean, the part of Russia that my ancestors came from is renowned for its skepticism. So with that part of myself, I, in those moments when it's strongest, I say, you know, I don't know about this belief thing. I don't know what I believe in. I'll tell you this, though. I'll behave in God. That piece I've got down. That I understand. I know what it means to behave in God. To believe, that's another matter. I mean, the Jewish thing is, I mean, you know, not so much about the believing thing. It's much more about the deed than the creed.
Rabbi Malka Drucker is the rabbi of the Hamakom Synagogue, a place for passionate and progressive Judaism, as they call themselves. It's at hamakomtheplace.org. That's spelled H-A-M-A-K-O-M, theplace.org, all one word. Now, just quickly before we go, are there events that people maybe who are Jewish but have never gone or haven't gone lately to a synagogue might want to attend?
Definitely, and you have tickets always, Mary Charlotte. Anytime you want to come and see what we're doing.
My little agnostic self.
You're my people. That's the challenge, yes. Saturday night before Rosh Hashanah, we're having an evening of forgiveness called Selichot. It's a very powerful service. We're showing a wonderful movie about Debbie Friedman called A Journey of Spirit, who is absolutely a person whose life changed, and you could see the progression of her life and how her music has she used her wound to heal many. So Saturday night, check out our website and you can find out about it. We're very welcome. We'd love to have anyone come.
Rabbi Malka Drucker, thanks so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
You're very welcome. My pleasure.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned to KSFR. I'd like now to welcome to the program Robert Knott. He is with the Pasatiempo, which is the Friday Arts Supplement in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. He's with us. He used to be with us every Friday speaking of the arts, and now he's here occasionally. It's great to have you back.
Well, it's nice that you and Rob DeWalt are having your day in the sun, and it's nice to be back, especially on Fiesta weekend, as Film Noir weekend. We're a week away from the Bark and Ball. We've got lots of stuff happening, and I'm delighted as well as dilapidated to be back in your presence. By the way, where are my presents? I didn't bring none, huh?
I give you all kinds of presents all the time, which our listeners don't know about.
Hey, I like your haircut. It looks great.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I like your scruffy terrier look.
Well, I'm letting the hair grow out. You know, when I got out of the military like 25 years ago, I kept this short style I've had, and suddenly I'm going back to like the late 70s. I'm letting my hair grow, and you can't imagine how many women are like, oh my God, your hair looks so good. And women are running their fingers through it, which I like.
That's because they remind you, you remind them of David Cassidy.
David Cassidy from the Partridge Family?
Yeah, well, late 70s.
Oh,
isn't that late 70s?
I love you, and your name is Mary Charlotte. Yeah, that was great, that show. I liked I Dream of Jeannie better because I thought Barbara Eden was sexy. I was a little
Define
boring,
great.
Great means like, you know, it's a lot of fun.
So what's happening this weekend?
Well, I got a lot of big things to talk about, but I'll mention Nacha Mendez, one of my favorite local performers, who plays all over town. She's going to be teaming up with her World Music Ensemble to put together a new show called Trova at El Farol on Canyon Road. I believe it premieres at 8 o'clock this Tuesday. It'll be ongoing Tuesdays through Thursdays at 8 p.m. at El Farol. You got to pay to get in. Call El Farol for reservations. And there is a really nice profile of Richard Wolf, who's coming to speak on behalf of the Lannan Foundation.
Good Q&A. I'm going to that on Tuesday.
Really good Q&A with him that I think Casey Sanchez did in our paper. And that, when did you say that was? Remind me.
It's on Tuesday at 6:30 at the James A. Little Theater.
Yeah, and his thoughts in this Q&A in the Pasatiempo about how we're mirroring the Great Depression, except in how we're addressing this economic depression really fascinating. Please read it, even if you don't, you know, in general, you don't like pasta or something. Believe me, this is a really good Q&A by Casey Sanchez.
Yeah.
6:30 Tuesday at the James A. Little. As you all know, Lanham Foundation, it's pretty cheap to get in. Call the Lunzik at
988-1234.
1234.
And the cover story of the reporter this week is by Noam Chomsky.
Yes, that's actually a terrific story as well. I got to admit, they did a really nice piece on that.
Yep.
Noam's a good writer. The cover of Pasta Tiempo is film noir.
You know a little something about that.
And this is from the película El Secreto Detrás de la Puerta, Secret Beyond the Door with Joan Bennett. Oh, boy. Scary. She goes beyond the door to see what's happening. And I don't know what happened. I didn't see that one. 12 movies.
I was in Gallup this weekend, and I thought of you because I went into this hotel called El Rancho.
Oh, El Rancho's a great hotel.
And there was a picture of James Garfield.
Oh, they got John Garfield.
Errol Flynn.
They got everybody.
John Garfield,
there,
about whom you wrote
Ronald
a biography.
Reagan, yeah. They got, that's a great hotel to go hide out from if people in Santa Fe are trying to find you, because nobody looks for you in Gallup. And that's the place to go. I stayed in the Marx Brothers room there.
You did?
Yeah.
They have their
terrific
own room?
Yeah,
the Marx
Brothers
have,
there's like an Errol Flynn. No, it has three. So you got two extra if you're not happy in the one you're sleeping in or not happy with the person in you with it. But anyway, so it's a great hotel. Did you spend the night there or did you just pop in?
No, we just popped in.
Did you eat?
We did not eat there, although I hear the food is good.
It's a decent little restaurant. It's like an old-fashioned restaurant, diner inside the hotel with great sandwiches that are named after famous movie stars. Speaking of which, film noir.
But wait a minute. But we went to see Billy Malone. Billy Malone, about whom we wrote, about whom we did an interview a couple of weeks ago, who was kind of, how should we say, given a hard time by the National Park Service, and Paul Berkowitz wrote a whole book about him. And there is Billy Malone's little trading company on one of the main streets in Gallup.
It's a nice little main street.
Yep. Anyway, film noir.
Film noir starts Thursday night at the Screen at the Santa Fe Institute of Art and Design.
Santa Fe University of Art and Design.
Well, that's fine, too. 12 titles. You got Peter Lorre, you got Zachary Scott, you got Robert Taylor, you got Joan Bennett, you got Ronald Colman, you got Charles McGraw, you got Olivia de Havilland, Robert Ryan, a great actor. Terrific little noir not many people know about called The Prowler. Please go see it. It's a really good story, sort of sad. Van Heflin, Evelyn Keyes. Good little RKO picture called On Dangerous Ground, I recommend. I saw 10 of the titles. I would recommend 9 of them. They were good. A couple I didn't see because they didn't give me screeners. It's noir. It's back. It's at the Screen after a 2-year absence. See My Story, cover story, Pasta Tiempo 32. Great photo layout, great lobby cards. You got to pay to get in. Here's the phone number, 473-6494. And you can easily Google summerinthedark.com. Because summer still exists until September 21st.
That is so true.
And then what happens?
Fall.
Why should I fall? I'm sitting here on the chair. I haven't even had a drink. She wants me to. When do we turn the clocks back?
Autumn.
Autumn in Santa Fe.
I don't know. It changes.
Looks so
it changes every year when we change the clocks. It's you're making little kissy noises.
Yes,
that's so gauche.
Right. Gauche.
Let's see. I don't know when we turn
Halloween
the clocks back. It's usually October, but my little desk calendar does not seem to tell us.
See that you can't always call everything
up
on your
weekend
laptop. It's usually around Halloween. I know that.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm looking for a haunted house to investigate this year for Halloween, so if anybody has a tip, email me at the work. Movies.
Are not at sfnewmexican.com.
Yeah, a lot of people read RN in the paper and they think it says M. It looks like an M, but it's R not. Like, I is not, but I are not, too. RNOTT, sfnewmexican.com. Steven Soderbergh's Contagion opens today. It's not about a global pandemic. The kind of movie I don't want to go see, which is why I'm running down to the Regal 14 to go see Creature, about a half-man, half-alligator that attacks people in the swamps. That'll be good.
Is that true? Half-man, half-alligator?
Well, it's in the movie. I don't know if it's actually based on fact. I'll find out. Point Blank, a terrific French thriller. I'm going to go ahead and be sexist. I absolutely believe it is a quote-unquote guy movie. It's just shooting and running, running and shooting, but man, it's good. Summer in the Dark, of course. The Whistleblowers over at De Vargas. John Logan Richards wrote a nice piece about the undercover whistleblower, Nebraska cop. A lot of good movies out there. And Cowboys and Aliens is not one of them. Theater-wise, the Santa Fe Fiesta melodrama continues at the Playhouse, skewering local culture, comedy, characters, and craziness. Rob DeWalt saw it last week and wrote a decent review in today's Pasta Tiempo. It continues at the Playhouse, including late shows that are about 10:15 p.m. that are 21 and over because the late shows are naughtier. So they're putting in like burlesque bits and stuff, which is why I'm going in. 988-4262, got to pay to get in, some, you know, different prices. I'm going to recommend, without being too much conflict of interest, since I'm running the lights and sound, the guys at Warehouse 21 has three more shows tonight at 7:30, and then 4 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. Very different 4 p.m. shows. I like 4 p.m. matinees, by the way. We did that with my show at Warehouse because people have their day to go hiking. They're not interrupted by a 2 o'clock matinee that depresses them. You go at 4, you're out at 5:30, you go get a beer or something to eat. So 4 o'clock, Saturday and Sunday, Warehouse 21.
Nice.
I think you call 603-1370. It's a good little show. I'm really happy to be involved. Warehouse also has an anniversary Saturday night of music, which I have nothing to do with. Rob DeWalt wrote about it at 7 o'clock, and they're having some sort of big end of summer event, 7 o'clock. Just head on over there. They got keyboard, they got peach cake, they got a whole bunch of things. And Rob DeWalt has a nice column in Soundwaves. He's taking off for a week's vacation, which he notes in Soundwaves, so he won't be around if you're trying to reach Rob DeWalt, which is why I'm here.
Which is why you're here.
Yeah, he's on his way to somewhere, the Northwest.
The Northwest somewhere. November 6th at 2 a.m., that's when daylight savings time ends.
So on November 5th, we set the clocks. Fall back or forward?
Fall back.
That's usually what happens to me at the bar stores over there, Second Street.
And then it gets dark really early, but it gets light a little earlier in the morning. And
I don't like.
I think that didn't I read that the candy lobby lobbied for it to be a week later so that there'd be more light on Halloween?
I believe that's true, and I can understand that because I don't like that leaving work at 5 o'clock and it's dark and it's like November 7th, particularly because it's dark and like there's boogans out there and creepins. But I do like in
the morning. Did you say boogans and creepins?
Yeah, those are like monsters, like Zizobra, who got burned up last night. That guy burns me up. Anyway,
Andrew Lee Lovato, author of Elvis Romero and Fiesta de Santa Fe, featuring Zozobra's Great Escape. It's a book, and the book signing is Saturday, September 10th. That's tomorrow at 11 in the morning at the Palace of the Governor's Courtyard.
Well, let's keep going.
It's a free event, discussion, book signing, musical performance, and refreshments.
Because we like Fiesta, I'm going to let you take tomorrow morning's event, the one you get excited about, and you bring milk and...
I don't bring the dogs, but the pet parade.
Oh, boy, keep going.
The pet parade is tomorrow morning, but you've got the information right there. I don't have it in front of me.
It's the pet parade with doggies, cats, and others. There might even be monkeys and fighters and mutters. Let me see. It starts at 9 o'clock. It's called the Desfile de los Niños, a.k.a. Children's Pet Parade, 9 o'clock. Forget children's. Everybody's involved. It's going to start in front of the New Mexico School for the Arts over at Paseo de Peralta in East Alameda. Travels north down Palace to Grant, east on Marcy. You know what? Sit somewhere downtown. You'll see people lining up with chairs. Check out SantaFeFiesta.org. It's one of the funnest things in the Fiesta. And I'm lucky because sometimes I'll go to the front of the New Mexican. And even if there's no seats, I'll just go inside the New Mexican, look out the windows, and get to see the little animals.
It's very, very cute. It's cuteness abounding. But
that's a good way to put it. I like when you say those things. Because you're so serious with the people you talk to. And then when I'm on, you're like cuteness abounding.
It is.
You have such beautiful shaggy hair. My God, you're strikingly handsome, Robert. That's what I like about when I should come on the show.
Well, you look like a little terrier. You're scruffy and curly hair and light brown fuzzy mop.
We have another parade on Sunday.
Yes.
Hysterical Historical.
The Hysterical Historical Parade.
Yeah, it's all part of Fiesta. You guys know what's happening all weekends. Zozobra got burned up, but stuff's happening. Go around the plaza. And by the way, again, the plaza, you don't want to try to park down there this weekend. It's already closed off. There's booths and food and arts and crafts stuff, and there'll be presentations. So avoid the plaza if you're not interested in attending this here thing. But the Hysterical Parade's 1 o'clock. And that begins around De Vargas Mall at Guadalupe and Paseo de Peralta. If you're a visitor listening in town, you've never seen this thing, find a spot downtown and pay attention to this thing. It runs from about 1 to 3. Again, the SantaFeFiesta.org. Look in today's Pasa Tiempo in the calendar for more specifics.
You mentioned the play The Guys already.
I mentioned The Guys, and I mentioned the Playhouse.
And that's
Melodrama.
A very good play.
Thank you for supporting it. It was great of you to have them on the show. It holds up well
after 10 years.
A fireman and a journalist meet in the wake of 9/11, and interesting stuff happens, and it's not corny or romantic. So
it's funny. That play was written a few months after 9/11 in New York. After 9/11 in New York City, and it was premiered, I guess, a few months after. And the movie Hip Hop Hope, which is at the Santa Fe Art Institute,
correct.
Same deal. It was made right after 9/11. We had Daryl Wilkes on the air. It's a very good film. About hip-hop, about New York, about 9/11, about people's perception of this country right after that time. And so two different artworks that were made
very close in the heels of that.
And they're both running
day.
This weekend. And Rob DeWalt wrote a piece on that in today's PASA.
Yeah, check out all the things happening at Santa Fe Art Institute, because there are all kinds of events, performances, exhibitions, and so on.
And Hip Hop Hope is actually at Tipton Hall over there.
At Tipton Hall on Saturday and Sunday.
7 o'clock Saturday, 7:30 Sunday. No charge, by the way. I'm going to give you a phone number, 424-5050. Again, you got Pasa Tiempo. Take a look at Rob DeWalt's story on 38. It's a nice piece. Paul Weideman has a nice piece on archaeological sites of New Mexico in today's Pasa Tiempo for your interest if you want to pull away from Fiesta a little bit. There is a history of Fiesta in today's Pasa. There's art reviews, book reviews, etc. And there's also, I've been getting out and trying to do a little more dancing, just sort of ad hocing it. And there's some fun groups playing around town. Oh my God, they're doing Geeks Who Drink again at El Farol, 6 o'clock on Monday night. I didn't know that.
Geeks Who Drink.
Yes. So the Rhubarbs are down at the Mine Shaft in Madrid, Soulful Blues, on Sunday afternoon at 3. It's about 7. A nice drive down there.
Do you go to Geeks Who Drink?
I've never done it, even though I'm a geek.
You're a geek.
Tin Star has Saucy Sunday with Lou and DJ Classico at 8 o'clock. No cover. That's Sunday again. Tonight, the Matador has No Wave, New Wave with DJ James Reich, R-E-I-C-H, could be Reich. I apologize when I mispronounce names. It's never on purpose. 9:30, Matador. And tonight at Cowgirl is Soul Foundation, 8 o'clock, small cover charge. I think Sierra is over at La Fonda, which I love hanging out there. It's a good little dance floor, except it's too small. Second Street has Felix y los Gatos, 5:30 to 8. And you could even hear Faith Amor. What a great name at Upper Crust tonight. Canadian jazz singer, pop songwriter at Upper Crust, 6 to 9 o'clock if you feel like going out for pizza. There's a lot of other good things happening. Take a good look at today's Pasa Tiempo for all the various listings. You got something? Okay, I'll go. Pueblo of Tasuki Flea Market still going strong.
I do not have something because somebody sent an attachment instead of, or sent a website instead of. Ladies and gentlemen, when you send your listings, send them in the body of the email. Do not send links. Do not send attachments because I will not open them. Or if I do, then there's going to be dead air because it takes so long to open the damn thing.
It can happen in our business, too. I urge people, if it's a short release particularly, there's no reason not to put it in the body, even if it's a formal press release, or attach it with a note saying, if you can't open the attachment, let me know ASAP. I mean, at the very least.
Or put it, just do both.
Yeah, both is fine.
Have the exact same content in the attachment and the body of the email.
And again, preaching to the choir, get the phone numbers in there, the dates, the times, the address, the prices, the correct website, and the correct date. Don't say Thursday, September 8th. If Thursday, September 7th is going to throw us. It's not that difficult. I sound very harsh now to double check these press releases. And they still come in erroneously sometimes. Do you get that as well?
Yes.
So there you go. Remember that book about the women's sensual parts called The Erroneous Zones? I've been working on that for years. Poetica is a weekly poetry slam Monday night, 8 o'clock at El Farol. Musical accompaniment is welcome. And there's some lectures going on around town. We shouldn't overlook them. There's one on Wednesday. Listen to this. The Mexican Indians of Santa Fe. Old Friends and Allies or A Case of Mistaken Identity. Elizabeth Oster, who's part of St. Mike's High School and San Miguel Chapel's lecture series presenters, is going to be speaking about this at 7 o'clock at San Miguel Chapel, which, if you don't know, is at 401 Old Santa Fe Trail. Suggested donation is very minimal. Again, it's Wednesday, 7 o'clock. Interesting lecture on the Mexican Indians of Santa Fe. Here's a phone number for you, 988-1944. And that's the same night, by the way, that Bill Hearn's doing his country trio at La Fonda down there. I am Marillo by morning. Do you know much about the East Coast poets Ellen Doré, Watson, Joan Houlihan, and Jeffrey Levine?
No.
Well, they're going to be doing a poetry reading at 6 o'clock Thursday called Muse Times 2.
Oh, good. Yeah. That's the series, the poetry series at Collected Works Bookstore.
Yeah, and that's over at 202 Galisteo Street downtown. Nice little store. 988-4226. And today's Pasa Tiempo has a subtext book column on this here event. So take a look, see. And Thursday night also, Heaven, a student show, is going to open at the Santa Fe Community College of Arts and Design's Visual Arts Gallery out on Richards Avenue. 5 o'clock reception. Those events are free, and I always love going through those exhibits. If you're out at the community college, there's no reason you can't run by the visual arts gallery over there by the radio station, by the way, in that same building that houses you guys.
That's right. It's just a few steps from KSFR.
Yeah, a little bit down the hallway and around the corner. And the show is up through the end of September, so take a look-see. Are you interested in cooking with the chef at the farmer's market?
Yeah.
Well, there's going to be a cooking demonstration and discussion with Patrick Garrity from La Casa Sena at 5:30 Thursday over at the farmer's market. The market is from 4 to 7. It's at Paseo de Peralta by the railroad tracks across from Warehouse 21 and Site Santa Fe. 983-4098. I don't see a price listed in the Pasta Tempo. I don't know whether it's free or not. Wouldn't it be terrible if somehow, like, I was running from gangsters and to try to hide out, I pretended to be the chef there and, like, I put on a hat and they ran by me, but then I had to do the cooking demonstration for people and I didn't know how to cook?
I think you got yourself just the first scene of a sitcom right there.
Oh, boy.
You've missed your calling.
Cooking with Robert.
What would you do? Would you just show them how to make Frito pie and popcorn?
I'd ad lib it and have some fun with it until they threw me out. I can make some basic dishes. I cook for myself often, and I can do basic fish and chicken and pasta, and I can make some nice salads. But I am trying to expand my repertoire, so if you have a favorite recipe or two, email it to me because I'm trying different things.
I do have a couple of favorite recipes.
Send them over.
And
by the way, put them in the body of the text and not in an attachment.
Well, I don't have them online because one of them is from an old cookbook, of
Italian
food.
Can you make me a print
copy? I can make you a
copy. I'll come over. You pour me a beer, and I'll get the recipe from you. And we'll stir things up.
Okay, so in exchange for my giving you the recipe, I'll pour you a beer.
You certainly will.
All right.
We'll turn the lights down low.
And you know what it is?
What?
It's cannelloni.
That's why I want to hang out with you.
Have you ever had cannelloni? And you can make it. One time I made it for a friend who was a vegetarian. Instead of putting in the beef, I put in the portobello mushrooms.
What happened?
It was so good. It was almost better than the beef, which is hard to imagine.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So there you go. Happy accident.
No, it was on purpose. I knew it would be good, but I didn't know it would be that good.
Oh, boy.
CCA, Cinematheque. Over your city's grass will grow, a deeply serious meditation on artistic process and expression. It's a film that is this weekend, that's screening this weekend, perhaps beyond. Buck, of course, which if you haven't seen it yet, you got to see it because that's a great horse movie. Sarah's Key, which we talked about last week. I have not seen this movie, but I hear it's very good and very very moving. And opening this week, Kingdom of Survival, which is a movie that explores modern skepticism in America, challenges the status quo, and uncovers provocative links between survivalist philosophy, ecumenical spirituality, radical political theory, and outlaw culture. I gotta go see that.
What's it called?
Kingdom of Survival.
The other night on a Turner channel was Kingdom of the Spiders, where these huge spiders chase people. You think that's related?
No.
Tonight there's...
Spiders are not a kingdom. It's the animal kingdom contains spiders, which are arachnids.
They're what?
Arachnids.
I didn't know they were from Iraq, but that's okay with me. I don't want to have any culture clash with those people.
Aren't lobsters also arachnids? Or they're in the same family? Anyway, go ahead.
Art openings tonight. Again, you're tired. You don't want to do Fiesta. You don't want to do Film Noir. You don't want to go to a play.
You want to do all those things.
Well, you do, but tonight, here we go. Huera or Not, mixed media work by Darlene Olivia McElroy and Sandra Duran Wilson over at El Museo Cultural de Santa Fe, right off Paseo de Peralta near the farmer's market. Reception 5:30 to 7:30. The show runs through early October. At the Flying Cow Gallery in Warehouse 21 is 9/11, 10 years later, a student exhibition. Reception tonight, 5 to 7. Runs through late September. La Fonda in the Coronado Room has Santa Fe inspired work by Sandy Valiancourt. Reception 4:30 to 7:30. Show runs through September 11th. McLary Fine Art up on 225 Canyon Road has new oil landscapes by Robert Marchesault. Reception 5 to 7. The Randall Davey Audubon Center has a show, Big Wings, Big Love, Mixed Media and Caustic Paintings by Ernesto. Reception 5:30 to 7:30. I wonder if that has to do with birds since it's the Audubon Center. Show runs through early October. That's up at 1800 Upper Canyon Road, the very top. In the Rotunda Gallery in the State Capitol, you have work by members of the Santa Fe Book Arts Group. Reception 4 to 6. That's over at Old Santa Fe Trail in the Paseo de Peralta. Turner Carroll's doing show with Igor Melnikov. Reception 5 to 7. New paintings. There's a lot of other gallery openings. Again, look in the Pasta Tiempo. Lots of options to see things. Also, at Gig Tonight over on 2nd Street is the Rio Grande Guitar Quartet at 8 o'clock. Got to pay to get in, gigsantafe.com.
And on Monday, September 12th, Hugh Ambrose will be talking about the paperback release of his New York Times bestseller, The Pacific. It's the companion book to the miniseries by the same name.
That's right.
Which was executive produced by Tom Hanks and Bruce McKenna, who lives in Santa Fe. Will be at the event. He did a lot of writing, I guess, or did the writing on the miniseries. And so that's Monday at 6 o'clock. And then on Wednesday, Sandra Shackle is talking about Working the Land, Stories of Ranch and Farm Women in the Modern American West. And I think I'm going to be interviewing her, I think, that morning or the day before. We shall see. But that's at 6 o'clock on Wednesday at Collected Works Bookstore. And as you mentioned, Muse Times 2 on Thursday at 6 o'clock. Lots of good stuff at the wonderful Collected Works Bookstore.
Well, let's say it's Tuesday afternoon at 10 to 3 and you're bored. Maybe you got the day off. Maybe you don't have a job. Maybe you're retired. Maybe it's none of the above and it's none of my business. You want something to do?
Yes.
Mac Watson is going to be speaking at the School for Advanced Research as part of their lecture series at 3 o'clock on the following. Water flows uphill toward money. How the Santa Fe River became privatized. Could be interesting. It's absolutely free. The School for Advanced Research is at 660 Garcia Street. Call 954-7203, and I'll say it one more time. 3 o'clock Tuesday, it's free.
Yay.
What's going on Thursday? It's the last day of the week in the Pasatiempo. Oh, Los Martinez. Do you know them? They're playing at the Lodge of Santa Fe. We have a story in today's Pasa. They're playing Thursday night. I don't see. 8:30 p.m. in the Maria Benitez Theater at the Lodge of Santa Fe, 750 North St. Francis Drive. Got to pay to get in. Call 988-1234. See story page 20 of Pasatiempo. We have a Code Talker book signing that day. I don't think you mentioned it. Thursday, Chester Nez and Judith Scheiss Avila, S-C-H-I-E-S-S. Again, I'm not mispronouncing it purposely. If I am, I apologize. 7 o'clock Thursday, Hastings Bookstore, of all places, Guadalupe Street and DeVargas Mall. If you're interested in the Code Talker story, head on down there. And Hindu Culture and Ballet, The Dazzling Synthesis. That's also Thursday, 2 o'clock, St. John's United Methodist Church, 1200 Old Pecos Trail. Got to pay to get in. It's part of the Renison Institute for Lifelong Learning. It's a slide presentation by Ken Simonson. Hindu Culture and Ballet, if you're interested, 2 o'clock Thursday. Yes, you got to pay, 982-9274.
Balinese Hinduism is super cool.
Yeah? Well, yeah. Of course you went there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, oh, Bali's God or whatever that guy's name is. Kali, is that his friend? Is that guy's name? Anyway, you'll get it right next time.
We've just got about a minute left.
Well, I'm going to miss you.
What do you mean you're going to miss me?
Well,
I'm here.
I know, but, you know, I'll be back Christmas time. Why don't you have me on for Christmas? I'll do some Christmas songs.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. Fiesta, ladies and gentlemen, and so much more.
Film Noir Festival, the guys.
Film
Santa
Noir
Fe Fiesta
Festival.
Melodrama.
Yeah, Santa
Richard
Fe
Wolf,
Art Institute.
Lannan.
Yep.
Too much stuff. Pick up
Pasa. We just recapped the whole show in 10 seconds. And I am not going to be here a week from today.
Yeah.
I am going to be off for just...
Okay, I'll do the show.
A couple of days. You want to?
Oh, come on and ad lib it. Can you imagine? Hello,
yes.
Ladies and gentlemen. I start telling an erotic story at 8:15 in the morning. And then the two young women slowly undressed as the man watched them. Man, can you imagine? I'd be off the air in 8 minutes. I'd be outraged. Letters of protest.
Yeah. Go on. The address is Santa Fe Radio Cafe. No, what is my... Radio Cafe at KSFR.org is the address if you object to Robert Knott or if you love Robert Knott or anywhere in between. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at KSFR.org, podcasting at SantaFeRadioCafe.org. Thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at Facebook.com/Radio Cafe. My email address is, like I said before, RadioCafe@KSFR.org. Stay
tuned.
Don't
send attachments.
Do not send attachments.
She's attached enough to me.
Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, jazz a la carte of Robert Knott. Thank you so
much. Should I come
over
for that beer and that recipe now?
No, because I'm going to be in the cafe eating breakfast.
I see. It's too early for beer anyway.
Yeah, it's too early for cannelloni, too.
Well, cannelloni, that's why I want to do it with you. I told you that before. It's never too early for beer when it's noon.
I have a half a dozen things that I make very well, and I think cannelloni is on the top of the list.
Well, I know what I make best of all.
Bye.
Yeah, but I...